Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on Edgewise today is Nolan Bushnell. He is a technology pioneer, entrepreneur, and engineer, and I think he's in possession of most of the quarters that I actually earned in my earlier years. He's often cited as the father of the video game industry. He's best known as the founder of Atari Corporation and Chuck E. Cheese's Pizza Time Theater. His new company, Brain Rush, draws on the latest developments in brain science to improve the educational process. He lives in Los Angeles, but we're talking to him today about his new book, Finding the Next Steve Jobs, How to Find, Keep, and Nurture Talent. Nolan, welcome to AMA Edgewise.
I'm happy to be here.
All right, let's just jump into this. Your book takes a slightly askew, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but a different type of point of view about finding and keeping truly talented and creative people. Many times the old school command and control thinking about hiring people and keeping them online and indoctrinating them in the ways and means of corporate culture and whatnot just don't work anymore. So if you don't mind, I got a couple questions about that.
Sure.
What are some of the unique management challenges in leading a world-class creative team?
The real problem is, how do you manage outliers? It's pretty simple if you want a very homogenous company. Everybody the same size, the same outlook, you can train, that sort of thing. But when it comes to creativity, what you really want is divergent thinking, not convergent thinking. And the biggest problem is, how do you create a corporate culture that embraces that divergent thinking without creating chaos and anarchy?
Now, in finding and hiring strong talent, is it better to wait for them to find you, you know, put up a nice, bright, shiny sign, or should you go out in search of them?
Well, I think you have to do both. I have a chapter on sort of how you make your company look attractive to creatives. But at the same time, I think that there's an awful lot of things you can do to be proactive and go out and search for people who are a little different, who maybe march to a slightly different drummer. Mm-hmm. And I point out in the book that Steve Jobs actually found us because we sort of were the poster children of different think at the time. And it was very easy to figure that out because we were the only company in the area that allowed you to walk the talk and dress any way you wanted to. And it was really about having a meritocracy. We always said, we don't care how you look, we don't care how you smell, we don't care when you come to work, we don't even care if you come to work. If you get your assigned jobs done, we're happy. Mm-hmm. And so it's really this focus on outcomes, not process.
Another interesting question, and it occurs in almost every workplace, especially these days, that's sort of, isn't talent already within an organization frequently overlooked for new roles and opportunities? Well, and why do you suppose that is?
Oh, I think that's absolutely the case. In fact, I'm quick to point out that it's really not about finding the next Steve Jobs. It's really about letting the Steve Jobs that you already have working for you thrive. And so this is really about an ecosystem that allows creative ideas to flourish and prosper. And so I really believe that we have so many wonderful and very capable people whose work product is ending up on the cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm. In the book, you make frequent use of terms and concepts that might frighten or put off other, I'll say, old school executives, such as anarchy and pranksterism. What are you after with those types of terms?
Well, people who are creative tend to be playful, and they tend to be a little bit of a rule breaker, because if you're going to invent the future, you have to many times break some of the tried and true rules of the way things are done right now. You don't get to an iPhone if you're used to copper wires running around. I mean, talk about a totally new paradigm. What we really want to be able to do is have controlled pranksterism, controlled fun. I've never seen a creative person that wasn't fun-loving. Mm-hmm. And I found a very high correlation between young workers who are pranksters and who are extremely creative. And so I think that finding that balance, and the balance is much closer towards pranksterism and anarchy than it is towards everybody buttoned down and homogenous.
Mm-hmm. So how does Nolan Bushnell approach risky business?
I study my business. I try to think of every potential contingency and reason that something could fail. And then I move forward quickly with a very small team. Huge teams don't do innovation very well. Small teams do, and they can be fast and they can be efficient. And I believe that it's more risky to not innovate than it is to innovate. Mm-hmm. It's just different in that you think you can exist on yesterday's ideas, but you just can't. The rest of the world passes you by.
Just an add-on question to that. When you talked about this small team, who's on this small team? What are you looking for in that small team?
There has to be, first of all, the idea champion or the group where they have shared views about making the world a better place, to embrace this future concept. Mm-hmm. And then they choose their own team. The thing that has to be done today is management has to let go a little bit more than they did in the past. There really needs to be a relaxation of a lot of process. So many companies, as you get big, you add process. You know, it's just inevitable. And small, nimble teams need to be able to move quickly without the adherence to a lot of the historical processes.
Some might say, well, it's all well and good for, you know, Nolan, for this type of wackiness in the video game business, but that would never fly in the widget industry. I mean, how do you respond to that?
You're absolutely wrong. I mean, I would tell them that the widget industry is dynamic, and if they don't innovate, they will wake up one day and somebody else has stolen their business. Not just a little of it, all of it. Think about Nokia versus the iPhone. I mean, Nokia, I think they had a 70% market share at one time, worldwide cell phone sales.
Yeah, my first two cell phones were Nokias, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And somewhere, all of a sudden, they woke up and their business is gone. BlackBerry. Now, is the cell phone business a wacky business? Well, no, but you could assert that to many state and communications people, the idea of entertainment apps were really wacky, and yet a cell phone today without apps, some of them being wacky, is not an acceptable solution. Mm-hmm. In some ways, the banking and the insurance business, you could say, now that's a staid and true and risk-prone business. I assert right now that the banks in a lot of parts of the world will be, in fact, usurped by cell phones. Insurance companies are being changed, the nature of them, by big data analytics and being able to get a better idea of what kinds of risks you're actually taking. These are all businesses that look on the outside like they are staid, but extremely vulnerable to lack of creativity.
How can entrepreneurial thinking, and by the way, the word entrepreneur and entrepreneurial, I always found kind of, I don't think it's aged well, but it's sort of, for lack of a better word, I guess we use it now. How can entrepreneurial thinking be nurtured within an organization?
Well, I think that decouple the team from your internal processes. Move them across the road, up on a different floor. Give them their own space. Let them do a certain amount of decorating and just turn them loose, primarily unmanaged, to accomplish a goal. That's the essence of entrepreneurship, is freedom to move. If you look at the typical CFO and you say, well, you've got to give this person check signing authority over a $100,000 budget and just leave him alone, they'll have a cardiac arrest. But that's essentially what you have to do.
Right. And just to wrap up here, what can you tell us about Brain Rush? What is Brain Rush? How does it work? What can we be looking for there?
Well, Brain Rush has taken a certain class of knowledge, you know, facts, processes, sequence, and put some brain science around it that makes it very, very fast and very effective. And we basically said, how can we teach things that kids are struggling with today quickly and efficiently? And we've come up with some tools that are, I want to say, somewhat game-like, that teach kids 10 times faster, mm-hmm. giving a whole bunch of extra time for deep understanding of other things because you get all redundant baloney stuff out of the way.
We've been speaking to Nolan Bushnell. He's obviously a video game legend and founder of, you know, Chuck E. Cheese. He's written this great new book, Finding the Next Steve Jobs, How to Find, Keep, and Nurture Talent. Nolan, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. It's been fun for me too.
We have a special gift for our loyal Edgewise listeners, a free copy of an ebook entitled AMA Business Bootcamp. In it, we have assembled the most critical must-have skills for managers and leaders. To download your copy, simply visit our website, amanet.org/bootcamp. That's amanet.org/BOOTCAMP. This free download will be available until November 1st, 2013. So get your copy now.
Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.